been commenting on my shirt. I don't know why. But if you check this morning and see they did a prophetic picture, you see the difference, you see? Prophetic, you got it? Red, it's got something to do with that. Old, new, yes. You're all jealous of my red shirt. But my wife had a dream and it has been fulfilled. She bought me the shirt and now I fill it properly. And the reason I wear it is because I can, you see? That's why. But last week, who was here last week in the evening when Gavin spoke? Yeah? You enjoy it? Of course we did. Gavin's going to be here for the next 2 weeks. Next week and the following week, Gavin's going to be coming up from Cape Town. And he's going to be sharing in the morning and in the evening. And I really encourage you to be here. He's going to continue with dreaming in 2010. And he really is a gift to the body. I was looking up the definition of dream. Because you know, also it's about desires. Dreams, desires. Now if you dream during the day, then that's a daydream. Yeah? And if you dream with your eyes open, it's a vision. Yes? And when you're sleeping, you also dream. And so there's a number of ways that when we speak about dreaming, it's not only one way. It's also the desires in our heart can also be a dream of ours. And so when we're speaking about dreaming, we're talking about generally the desires in our heart and the pictures we see normally when we are awake. And this morning, Steve preached from a text from the Gospel of Matthew. And lo and behold, I've got the same text this evening. I swear he saw it lying on my desk and he said, oh, that's a good text. I think I'll use it Sunday morning. But I'm going to use it this evening. And the Gospels were written to a specific group of people. Each Gospel was written to a specific group primarily, but also then to other believers. And the Gospel of Matthew was written mainly to Jewish people. And let's turn to Matthew 20. Oh, my Bible. Babe, sorry. It's that holy Bible in that bag, yeah. It's a heavy bag, eh? It's the Bible. Thank you, James. Sorry, mate. Let's turn to Matthew 20. It's the parable of the workers. Matthew 20, first book of the New Testament, 2/3 through your Bible. Matthew 20, verse 1. Now, a parable, you must understand it's from the Greek word, which means to cast beside. That's what that word means in the Greek. And what they did with a parable is they took an idea that was familiar to the idea that they wanted to teach. So it was a story along the same lines as the point they were trying to get across. And often you'll find there's a parallel. So there's a parallel of a story to the point that they were trying to get across. And in a parable, look for the main point. Don't look for the 40 sub-points. Just look for the main point that Jesus was trying to reach in the talk, in the giving of a parable. And when we look at Matthew, it's about God. This parable about the workers is actually about characteristic of God. So let's go and have a quiz. It's about the laborers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out at about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, remember this is 1 hour before they closed shop, at the 11th hour, he went out, found others standing, and he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. And so here we know it's about the kingdom of God because it starts off and says, for the kingdom of heaven is like. It's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And in summary, what happens is that workers come early in the morning. They get up early, which is good to go to work. If you're young, it's good to get up early to work, yes. So there we were in the marketplace. Guy's got a vineyard, he hires them. It sounds good. And then about 9 o'clock in the morning, he goes back. There's some more guys there. He says, oh, you want a job? Wonderful, come into my vineyard. Then he goes back at 12 o'clock. He goes back at 3 in the afternoon. and then he goes back at 5 in the evening, an hour before closing time, and each time he hires workers to come into his vineyard. And he's a nice boss, not so, because the worker that came 1 hour before they closed got exactly the same amount as the guy that was there early in the morning. Wouldn't you like to work for a boss like that? Yes. The guys in the morning didn't think so. They said, listen, this is not fair. And they started whining. But listen to what Jesus says. Then verse 11. On receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house. And then he said, listen, this is why we came early. Why are you paying them the same? And then he goes on and he says in verse 14, take what belongs to you and go. So when you whine, Jesus says to them, take what belongs to you. He got their money and go. But they weren't happy. But how come the guy that worked 1 hour got the same wage? And then he goes on and he says, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? You see, that's the whole crux of the parable. Can God do what he wants with what he's got to who he wants? Of course he can. Why? Because he's God. You know that I can also do that. Now, I'm not God. I can also do that. I can do what I want with what I've got. And so in this parable, that's what God is saying. Can I not do what I want with what I've got? In other words, I can do what I choose because I can. See, that's what he's actually saying. That's the loud version. Because I can do it. And the main point is God's character. God can do what he wants because he's God. Do you know that he's all powerful? So when he says, because I can, he means it. But you see, it goes a little bit further than that. Because he's an ever-loving father, not only does he say, because I can, he says, because I want to. You see, there's a difference. Because I can, and it goes a little bit further, because I want to. And so the title of my message this evening is, because I can, and because I want to. It's two things. In the world today, you will see a lot of because I can. Very little because I want to. Why did you buy that fourth Ferrari? Because I can. Why did you take all that land away from those people? Because I can. Why did you hurt that young man? Because I can. Very little of the second part, because I want to. We don't often see people doing things because they want to. You see, that's not God's perspective. God is fair and just and merciful and loving. And so because of his unfailing love, he says, because I can, it's because I want to. And so as believers, you know, you and I have the same spirit inside of us that does exactly the same thing. Because we can, it's because we want to, because we have God's love inside of us. And so over the last 2 weeks, I saw a little video at a men's group in Durban that I run. And this one chap played the video. And I must have watched this 8-minute video about 30 times. It really has had a huge impact on me. And I'm wanting to share part of this video with you this evening. But it's about a father and a son, where the father comes and he wants the son to live his dream. And so let's watch that, Gary. Sean, are you ready? Let's just watch this video first and then we'll go on. It's a father and a son. And at the end of 2009, they'd done a total of 1,009 events together. 228 triathlons, 6 Ironmen. And an Ironman is a 4-kilometer swim, 180 bike ride, and a 42K run in one day. And they've done 6 of them. 21 duathlons, 67 marathons, including 27 Boston marathons. And they've biked and run across America, 3,735 miles. Took them 45 days. And so my message this evening, I want to ask you one question. What will it take for you to give life to someone else's dream and help them fulfill it? You know, we can always be so focused on our own dream. And you know what? That's good. But what about somebody else's dream? And point number one is that if you're going to want to do that, you're going to need to look for somebody else's dream first. You know, it'll take effort to recognize someone's dream. Before the action, before any action, it's going to take some effort to recognize someone else's dream. And often we don't see it because we're so focused on our own. But then, sometimes they'll tell us about their dream and we write them off because there seem to be too many obstacles in the way. What do you think would have gone through that father's mind when his son, who was born with cerebral palsy, caused by lack of oxygen to his brain because his umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck when he was born, who asks you by typing on a computer because he can't speak, he has to type with his mouth because he's a quadriplegic, and he types us, "Dad, could we do a 5-mile running race together?" His dad says, "Yes, we'll do it together." And then they do it. And then the same son says, "Dad, could we do a marathon together?" He says, "Yes, son, we'll do it." And then they finish the marathon. And then, inspired by him completing the marathon, he says to his dad, "Dad, could we do an Ironman together?" And his dad says, "Yes, son, we'll do it together." You know, his dad could have said, "Son, have you seen yourself lately? Not looking so good." But he didn't. His father was looking out for the son's dream. That's what he was looking out for. And his son's dream was, despite the fact he was handicapped, he wanted to run a race. And so he jumped at the chance when his son said, "Dad, can we do a 5-mile charity run together?" He jumped at the chance. And it brings me to my second point tonight. We need to listen to some people's hearts. Listen to a person's heart when they tell you about their dream. Do you know that the dream that started in this young boy's heart was he wanted to compete the 5-mile race for another young man who had become handicapped through a sport injury. That's why he wanted to do the charity race. See, his heart was to help somebody else despite his condition. That's how his dream started. And so people with a dream might not always communicate it correctly. But listen, because it's their dream anyway. You know that point three, we need to see it through their eyes. We need to look into someone's eye when they tell you about the dream. And one of the most moving parts of that video was when Rick's dad says, Rick wrote in his computer, "Dad, when I'm running, I feel like my disability disappears." When his father's running with him. And so you know that you'll see that in Rick's eyes as his father's helping him to fulfill his dream of running those races. And you know, while others run the race, it's far more to Rick. It's actually freedom to him. He's not running a race. He's actually getting his freedom when he runs those races. And so, whose eyes will you look into to help you to fulfill somebody's dream? You know that you don't have to look far off to start. You actually just got to open the front door. And they're inside your home. Your children, your spouse. There's people right close to you. If you look into the eye, they've got a dream that you can help fulfill. Help them to live their dream. You know that, I've shared the story before, is that when Tessa, my eldest daughter, was in high school, she came to us the one day and said she wants to go to China. Now it was a little bit harrowing because she was only in grade 10. And she said, "Dad, I want to go to China." I said, "Cool, you need to learn Chinese." She said, "Okay, there's a girl in our school. I'm going to go learn Chinese." And she came back 3 months later and said, "Dad, it's too odd. I can't learn Mandarin." I said, "Okay, that's no problem, Tess." And a few months later, she came back. She said, "Dad, I've got it. I want to go to India." I said, "Okay, Tess. But we're going to have to do something because we don't have all the finances." And so she started a little business to raise some money so she could go to India. And then what she proceeded to do was every time somebody came to her house, she would vision cast them about why she was going to India. And people started coming along the journey with her. Her aunt paid for her air ticket because she was envisioned by what she saw in Tess's eyes. Do you know that I could have killed Tess's dream when she came to me and said, "Dad, I want to go to India." Could have said to her, "Huh, China didn't work out, did it?" But you see, as parents, sometimes we can kill our children's dreams so quickly. One sentence, I could have killed her dream. I said, "Okay, Tess, why don't we do it together?" Heidi, my youngest daughter, was so envisioned. If you ever came to our house, she would stop you at the front door and demand R5 to come in. And that R5 went towards Tessa's trip to India. See, that'll happen when you have a vision in your eyes and people can see it. Point number four is this. Their dream will bring life to you as you help them live theirs. Do you know that there's a long story behind this with his father? They only mention it briefly in the video. Is that his father had a life-threatening heart disease. And in fact, he suffered a heart attack in 2003. And was told when he survived the heart attack that the reason he was still alive was because of his lifestyle of running for his son. It actually saved his life. One of his arteries was 95% blocked. And they say that's a death sentence for heart patients. But because of his good condition, he came through with flying colors. Literally, his son's dream had brought life to the father. And, you know, how can we apply this today? Because whatever we do, Lord, I've got all these things in the scripture, but how do I apply to my life today? And every single one of us here this evening has been given gifts and talents by God. I prefer the word bestow rather than you've been given. Because bestow is presented. God has bestowed gifts on you and I. Do you know who for? Others. It's not for us. Do you know that as a byproduct, we are blessed? In fact, God bestows gifts and talents on you and on me for other people. We're blessed by as a byproduct, not as the primary product of our gift and our talent. And so God comes and He presents His gifts and His talents. You can read about it in Corinthians. Paul speaks into the church. He says, hey, you've been given all these gifts and these talents. What are you doing with it in the body of Christ? But then it also goes further than that. It's not only for the body of Christ. It's for those outside of the body of Christ. Every single one of you here this evening has at least one. But generally you have more than one. You know, don't be humble about your gift. Because you'll end up not using it. And when I say humble, please hear what I'm saying. We never tell anybody what we're gifted at, so it never gets used. Each of us has a gift. And it allows us to say, because I can. That's why I'm going to help somebody else live their dream. You know, when I was only about this high, and I was a lot thinner than I am today, I didn't have hardly any muscle in my body. I went to my dad the one day. I said, Dad, I want to swim. He said, really, son? You want to go to the pool today? I said, no, I want to be a swimming champion. He said, really? I said, yes. He said, okay. And so off we went. He enrolled me at a swimming school. And I started training in swimming. And I lost my first 10 races. But you know that my dad was at the side of the pool. Every time I got out of the pool, son! You are champion. I said, who? Me? I came stone last. He said, but son, I saw you. You're like a natural when you get in that swimming pool. You dive in the water, your eyes go to the side of your head. Your body gets scales all over it. Your legs change into a tail. You're like a fish in the water. I said, really? He said, I've seen it with my own eyes. 10 races later, I started realizing I have a gift in swimming. I get into the water, I become a porpoise. Even today. I have a gift in swimming. If I get into the pool, I can swim. Esther always panics when I say I want to do the mid-mile mile. She says, you haven't trained. I said, it's okay. But it's not for everybody. See, it's my gift. Oh, sorry about that. But it is my gift. You have a gift that I don't have. And the question is, what are you doing with it? Here's a thought. I've been watching this video. I shared it with Esty earlier on. I said, babe, you know what this video's done for me? Imagine if I could swim the mid-mile mile for a quadriplegic. I can tow them in a boat behind me. Some people swam the mid-mile mile yesterday. What if there were quadriplegics that said, I would like to swim the mid-mile mile? And your gift in swimming, you'd put them in a little canoe and you'd tow them across the mid-mile mile. Can you imagine what it would do for them? But I want to tell you something. Imagine what it's going to do for you. Because when we help others fulfill their dream, we get love. It's a byproduct. But what a byproduct. And so this evening, just through that video, I couldn't have said it better than that video. Is that we need to help others live their dream. Yes, it's good for us to have dreams. But man, we have gifts and talents in this body that can help others fulfill and live theirs. You know, we've got to look around. We've got to listen to people, look into their eyes. Yours won't be swimming, but maybe it's training in a classroom. Maybe it's helping in many other ways. Sometimes it might even be finance that you could help somebody fulfill their dream. What about that you know someone who knows someone who knows someone, because you're well connected, could help someone live their dream? At the men's breakfast, we're going to share, Grant's going to share about a dream that he lived. It wasn't for him, it was for somebody else, for the Ethelbert Children's Home. He went across 500 miles of desert. I think it was 3 days without food and water at one stage. No wind. But let me tell you, I can guarantee you, when Grant tells his story, you'll see a gleam in his eye. Because he got a byproduct of living that dream. And so in these next few weeks, when Gavin comes and he starts sharing, I want to encourage you that as he shares about how we could realize our dreams, we must take that. Because good for us. But there's also another side. It's how can we help others live their dream? Begin to ask people, so what is your dream? See, if we don't ask them, we'll never know. And maybe we can do something to help them live theirs. And so I want to encourage you to remember this video. I tell you, that father, he has given everything for his son. But if you could see his son's face when they went across that winning line, it was unbelievable. His son was living his dream. They've done that for over 20 years. They just keep on doing it. Again and again and again. Who would ever have said, he has this son, they told him, lock him in a home. His dad said, no, I'm not going to. And then one day his son said, Dad, can we run a 5 mile race? You see, it'll always start small and then it'll grow from there. And so I want to exhort you. Let's look for people in this local body, because this is where God has placed you. Let's look for people who we can help live their dream. Will you do that with me? Amen. Won't you bow your heads? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your gifts. We thank you for your talents that you have bestowed upon us, that you have presented to us. And Father, we ask that you bring people across our path who we can help live their dream. I thank you, Father, for everything that you have given us. But Father, we just look, can we look with your eyes as we would see many, many others who are just desperate to live a dream. That in some way, Father, that we will be able to help them. Help them live that dream that you've placed inside of them. Lord, we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, for every person that is here at Highway. I thank you, Lord, that you stir up their gifts. I thank you, Father, that you stir up the dreams within them to go on beyond what they thought possible. I pray, Father, you bring strength and courage to the people here at Highway. And Father, that we would make a difference in people's lives. We give you honor, we give you praise, and we give you thanks. And as we've come this evening, Lord, to worship and to hear from you, we pray, Father, we would go from here and do something about it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.